agenda, February 18th, 1981, 1:30 p.m., hearing room 137. Tax collections report, Homer Kennedy, Administrator, Collections Division, Department of Revenue.
Committee will come to order.
I won't get yours this time, Chuck.
Is that Kim? Reason he wasn't here, the 25-page letter. Sorry, Mr. Meeting. Okay, Mr. Kennedy.
Mr. Chairman.
We're going to talk about tax collections.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, my name is Homer Kennedy, and I'm the Administrator of the Collection Division of the Department of Revenue. And here with me is Don Papke. Don is the supervisor of one of our central office collection sections. So Don supervises the collection work for the personal income tax program primarily. We're here today to provide you some information on our collection program and to try to answer any questions that you might have. We put together some handout material for you. There's five pages, and I'd like to go down through these pages and make some comments and try to answer any questions that the committee has.
Okay.
The collection division is one of five divisions in the Department of Revenue, and we have three operating sections. Two of our sections are located in the Salem office, and they're primary responsibility is to do telephone collection work, and also we have program administration responsibility for several programs. Then we have a field section where we have field agents located in 15 field offices situated throughout the state, and we assign our delinquent accounts that need field work out to these field agents in the field offices for resolution. On page one of the handout material, I've listed the programs that the revenue programs that the department administers that the collection division does collection work for, and the programs that are identified with an asterisk are programs that the collection division has the program administration responsibility for, in addition to the collection responsibility. You'll notice that
Senator Hammond,
you get paid for collecting tax in Trimet and Lane.
Yes, sir. This is on a cost recovery basis, Senator Hammond. Mr. Chairman, you'll notice that about 74% of our time is spent in the personal income tax and withholding tax programs. The withholding is actually a part of the personal income tax program, but it's the program administration is separated between the personal income tax and withholding tax. And the TriMet and Lane Transit.
Can you tell me you're spending 12% of your time on mass transit between Lane County and?
Yes, sir.
Pardon me, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, but tell me what you do that you spend 12% of your time on.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator, today there are in the TriMet program, there are 25,000 employer accounts, and we in the collection division administer those accounts. We identify the delinquent, the failure to file, registered employers, and then we go through a delinquency procedure each quarter, and we do when we find that an employer is delinquent either by not having paid his tax or not having filed his report, we contact the employer by telephone and resolve the account.
Why was it decided that do you charge that back to those two agencies, or
yes,
you just
sir.
You do?
Yes, sir.
So you get paid, compensated for the efforts of your collection?
Yes,
so,
sir. The cost is taken out of the program receipt center.
Okay. I feel a little better about that. So you are, your staffing that works on this then is necessarily compensated by those two programs for
this? Yes, sir. Yes.
That's better. Okay, you make me feel better.
So actually the shouldn't total up to 100%. It should be about 112% if that's self-funding. The people you're assigning to that are paying their own way.
Yes, they are. Okay. We have other programs that the collection division administers, like, for instance, the other agency collection program that's funded by other funds also. That's a self sustaining program. The collection division has a total permanent staff of 126 personnel. We have 120 positions, but we have a few positions that are double filled by job sharing. And so our total personnel is amounts to 126. Now, for the purpose of our accelerated collection program that the department entered into last September at the request of the legislature, excuse me, we have 34 full-time people loaned to us from other divisions, other operating areas in the department, and those people are assigned full-time for the duration of this project to the collection division for collection work.
Don, wait, excuse me, while I'm thinking about, on the withholding, the 31%, that's after the passage of the Special Session Act? You're spending 31% on withholding?
Yes, sir. This is the latest figure that we have from our time cost system on the time spent on the different programs.
It doesn't deal with estimated payments yet. They're not into that.
Okay.
Doesn't deal with what?
Doesn't deal with estimated payments.
No, it doesn't deal with estimated payments. Out of these, then we have five personnel that have been loaned to us part-time by other divisions, and those people are not assigned to the collection division, but they are doing collection work as time permits. They spend about 50% of their time doing collection work. So we have 39, a total of 39 positions that are doing collection work for us, either full-time or part-time. Out of that 39 positions, four of those are doing either supervisory work or support work. So we have 35 borrowed people that are doing collection work for us. Senator Troll asked the other day when I was here with Richard Munn how many auditors that we had loaned to the collection division for this collection work, and I responded that I estimated we had 20 auditors, and I checked later and found that we have 18 auditors loaned to the program. So,
Senator McFarland?
I guess he sort of touched on the question that had already come to my mind, the shifts in the collection of withholding tax and so forth. Do you have any estimate of how much additional demands this will put on your staff, if any? That's kind of a question that you hinted at, and that was already in my mind.
I'm not sure I understand the question, Senator McFarland.
Well, maybe there won't be any additional staff time. We've been talking in here about having the three payments instead of two and so forth, these kinds of things. Will that require additional staff time? The kinds of things we've been talking about in getting the estimated income tax payments made to us more often.
Mr. Chairman. Senator McFarland, that very possibly will take some more staff time for collection work. We it's kind of hard to measure that right now, but one type of accounts that we will be getting rid of in our accounts receivable system are installment accounts. Those are not going to be in our collection caseload anymore. And we will be picking up some delinquent accounts in the estimated tax program. And we're not able to measure that right now. It may add to our, may increase the volume of our collection work.
Number of accounts won't increase, they'll just be.
Well, the number of taxpayers won't increase, but we might have for a particular taxpayer a situation where they have a delinquent account because they fail to pay the tax with their tax return, and then they also fail to pay their estimated tax.
Yes.
So actually, the number of accounts may increase, but the number of taxpayers will be the same.
So you would see increased work?
Yes, sir, we will. And I'm not sure how much that'll be offset by dropping out the installment accounts.
But even if it wouldn't really make much difference, since we're going to go to a semi-annual, if we determined that we wanted to go to a quarterly on estimated tax, that would be really immaterial, really, because you...
As far as the collection work is concerned,
as far as the
yes.
staffing, you would be the same if we wanted to alter that.
Right.
Okay. Because you've already predicted what that workload is.
Right.
Because of the semi-annual.
On page two, I've shown an analysis of our accounts receivable balance and the department's accounts receivable at January 31st, 1981. This is, the date is not shown, but these are our accounts receivable balances at January 31, and I've aged these accounts according to the length of time that they've been in our system as accounts receivable. And you'll notice that the major part of our accounts, 75%, are under 2 years of age. We have a total of 63,478 accounts in the department's revenue programs at the end of January, amounting to $51,268,659.
Guy, maybe 5%, can you work a deal with you?
Collection. That's a lot of money.
We've tried talking about that Saturday, but we haven't.
It'd be an incentive there, wouldn't it?
Right. Well, so during the special session, private collectors did approach the committee from the standpoint that they felt that there was some incentive there, and that it was their feeling at the time that the law already allowed the use of private collectors, yet I think the department's testimony was that they didn't feel the law did allow them to contract, and that, of course, from their vantage point, they felt they could do as good or better at collecting the money. So, you know, that isn't too far out of the picture.
Well, I would think, Mr. Chairman, excuse me, I would think on accounts that you did that down here, you look at, you have about 15% or $8 million over 3 years, chances of collecting those are probably harder. That'd be the kind of activity if you were going to look at, I presume, of what you would indulge in if you went into that type of arrangement.
Yes, sir. So, Mr. Chairman, we've had some discussion with people from the private collection industry, and I don't believe they'd be too interested in those older accounts. The collectability of those accounts is pretty low. No. And also, in the over 2-year-old accounts, if I could explain that a little bit now, there are quite a few accounts there amounting to quite a few of the dollars that where the taxpayer is outside our jurisdiction and are outside the state of Oregon. And it's pretty expensive for us to do the collection work. And there are some collection agencies, the nationwide collection agencies, that might be interested in this type of an account. And the department is planning to ask our authority to enter into agreements with outside collection agencies to assign these accounts, the out-of-state accounts particularly, to them for collection.
What portion of that? Oh, pardon.
Senator Farm.
This is my question. You mean we can, if they move to Washington or California, et cetera, we cannot, there's nothing we can do about it?
Senator McFarland, we can do something, but it's a kind of a long, drawn-out process. We have to go through the Attorney General's office, the way the law
probably,
is structured.
Unless
now.
It's a lot of money, it becomes
it has to be quite
less,
a bit of money, or it's not cost effective.
Yeah,
yes, ma'am.
Not cost effective.
Did you get authority to use interrogatories and out-of-state accounts?
Not in the collection program, Mr. Chairman. In the audit program, I think we do have authority for interrogatories, but that's in the interstate commerce, the business. Businesses involved in interstate commerce.
I thought in 77 we had a bill that would have allowed you to use them in-state or just use them. Sent it back to committee, and I thought it went out allowing you to use it in cases of out-of-state accounts. At that time we were primarily talking about entertainers, people like that who would swoop through the state, pick up some money, and live in California. And I thought that they were given that authority, but that's maybe not the case. Well, I thought it, because I fought it on the floor, because I didn't want to get one in the mail. Because I thought they would start using them as a leisure device as opposed to on in-state taxpayers. And for those who are not familiar with them, a written interrogatory is simply a legal document, as I understand it, that would require you to answer a series of questions put by the Department of Revenue, and it could be used in the court of law. So in essence, it's a pretty hot piece of paper. And I thought you were given the authority to use those in the case of somebody who owed taxes and was not in the state, but perhaps...
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, what do you mean by you voted against it because of what?
Well...
Say that again.
I did not want us at the state level to say, well, let's solve our collections problems by firing half the collection staff, and we'll go to writing memos to people, who then in turn have to go to their attorney and say, what are they asking me? Because this isn't something you simply sit down at your kitchen table and write back and say, mind your own business. It's a pretty hot piece of paper. And I did not want to see the state of Oregon enter into a program where that became a central instrument of collection. I thought the telephone, you know, that the citizens of the state deserve a different approach. Now, I'm not saying that that was the department's intent. I'm just saying at times like this, when the budget gets tight, that sort of thing, what do? You say, well, we have an easier way, a streamlined way of doing all this. And that's why I did not approve of that. But I thought that we did give them the authority because ultimately they said, well, the real reason we're after this so much is not to use it on people in state, is to get those people who have left the state. And I had no objection at that time to them using that. Senator Day.
Let's get back to this $8 million over 3 years. And tell me, of that portion, how many of those are large accounts? You mentioned there were some rather large ones. Do you know what size amounts are going to be considered large and how many are over $25,000 or something?
Over $25,000. I think Mr. Packy can correct me if I'm wrong. He's pretty familiar with our accounts receivable. That you could count the number of accounts that are over $25,000 on your hand. I don't think there are very many that are that large. But there are quite a few accounts, out-of-state accounts, that are up in the thousands of dollars. I think that's about as close as I can come. Okay. They range.
That's all I want to know.
What do you have in the form of out-of-state collections capabilities?
Well, right now we do all of our skip tracing and accumulate as much information as we can on the taxpayer. And then we have to refer it to an attorney in the tax division of the Department of Justice
and here in
Salem. And if the Attorney General decides that it's cost-effective, it would be cost-effective based on the information, to go out of state, then the Attorney General has to engage the services of an attorney out of state. And
do you have any collections people in California?
No, we don't. We have auditors, but no collection people. We do travel down to California once in a while to develop information on the taxpayer, and we have gone into small claims court down in the Los Angeles area several times and gotten small claims judgments against taxpayers. But that's kind of a small operation.
You say you're accompanying...
Senator Hanlon.
Other states must have the same problem. Have you tried any sort of a reciprocity program?
Yes, sir. We've discussed this with other states, but particularly the state of Washington, and we have exchanged some information, also Alaska. And we do have a reciprocal information exchange with the other states, but they don't have the capability of taking our accounts and doing actual collection work on them like we can in the state of Oregon, or we couldn't take theirs. You have to go into their state and establish a judgment.
It would take a change in their statutes to enable their agency to collect your debts.
Right. There is some statutes called the Uniform Foreign Judgments Act. But, we've had a couple of our attorneys and one of our collection supervisors looking at to explore the possibility of some kind of a simplified process of establishing judgments for our tax liens in other states that have this uniform act. And there are some possibilities under that those statutes. But
when do we expect to see some results from those efforts?
Well, we haven't. We're in the planning stage now, and we hope before the end of this year to get some work done in that area. Like I said a little while ago, one thing we would like to do is have authority to hire outside collection agencies to collect some of these out-of-state accounts, because we feel that they can do it a lot faster and a lot more efficient, and the state will be ahead, more dollars ahead by doing this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Day.
Well, this type of account. It's like any other outside accounts receivable. It would really be faster, cleaner, more to the point to hire an outside accountant because they have the experience of any judgments. And I would assume a reciprocity agreement would almost increase your cost. It wouldn't be worth the effort because they'd have to go through several of their procedures where an outside collection agency can go in and get a judgment. And they're used to doing it. They go in with a whole fist up.
I think we're in agreement with you, Senator Day.
You aren't going to introduce any legislation on that?
Yes, sir. We're going to propose an amendment to an existing bill to give us the authority to hire.
We were talking about your interrogatories. Are you going to look at that for outside collections, too?
I'm going to have to check into that, Senator Day. I'm not sure that I understand what our capabilities are. I'm sorry, but I'm kind of cold on that one.
I lost track of it, too, but it seems like we took it back before. Maybe the chairman of the committee was so mad that it came back that
they
killed it. I'm not sure.
They're getting sensitive along that line. I love it.
I can remember that the heat on the floor was similar to that in the chamber of Trojans for a while.
Steam was coming out of the cooling tower.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I've listed on page two also at the bottom of the page the volume of the tax returns and the money that comes in our major revenue program so you can kind of get an idea of what the size of our accounts receivable is compared to the total revenue that's generated in those programs. And we've lumped personal income tax and withholding together because they're generated, actually that's all personal income tax. And TriMet and Lane Transit are piggyback programs that are administered on piggyback on withholding tax.
How much does that account for in dollars?
TriMet?
Yeah,
TriMet. TriMet is about $30 million a year. I'd have to get the figures. It's about $30 million.
That's a lot.
And then the corporation excise tax is shown as a separate item. I wanted to say, point out too, that in this $51 million, approximately $10 million of that is what we consider to be current receivables. That is to say, we have deferred accounts in the inheritance tax program that are not due until 10 years after the liability is established. We also have the installment accounts that I mentioned earlier, and also income tax deficiencies that are determined either by machine or by audit that haven't run their 30-day period and the taxpayer hasn't had an opportunity to pay.
Do you think with your program, Mr. Chairman, if I may, do you think with your program that collection and so forth, that looking at this percentage over 2 years, that you're going to bring that down considerably before it goes that far?
Do I think we're going to bring it down?
Yeah, you can reduce that.
Yes, we are. We have been reducing that, Senator Day, and we're concentrating on that, and especially it'll come down if we get the authority to hire outside collection agencies to work on the out-of-state accounts, because that is a substantial part of that.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Jersey.
What percentage would you have to give up to an out-of-state collector? That would be the charge.
Mr. Chairman. What would be the charge? Their charge runs between 30% and 50% for the amount collected. However, at least one of the collection agencies that we've talked to, it's a competitive thing. We would have them bid on it, and it might not run quite that much. But their standard charge is between 30% and 50%.
That's what I was thinking. One more question. The TriMet and Lane County, I don't see, or maybe I missed it, how much of theirs are uncollectible, say, a year?
It's a pretty small percentage. I don't have a figure on that. It's comparable to the withholding tax. They're administered piggyback on withholding, and generally when a withholding tax account becomes uncollectible in TriMet and Lane Transit.
The same account.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
On page three, I've listed the progressive steps that we go through in our collection process. And they're pretty well self-explanatory. I wanted to say that the taxpayer file, we establish a taxpayer file at the when our telephone collection agents get into the collection process. Before that, all we have is a billing notice. But then when we get into the in-house telephone collection work, we establish a file and keep a record of all of our contacts and all of the information that we develop on an account. And actually, our delinquent cases can be resolved, can be collected at any point after step two. As a matter of fact, most of them are collected by the time that we've completed step seven, which is through our telephone collection work.
What's under step two, the first notice? In what form?
It's an EDP generated billing letter. It's a notice of either a notice of delinquency or a notice of deficiency. And the difference between those two, Mr. Chairman, is notice of delinquency is a case where a taxpayer has notified the department that he or she owes some tax but they didn't pay it, and we're billing them for that. And a notice of deficiency is where we've determined that the tax that they reported on a return is not enough and that they owe additional tax. Our accounts are maintained on the computer, and at step two, the account is loaded on the computer, and we have terminals in our collection units in Salem and also in our larger field offices, namely Portland, Eugene, Medford, and Bend. And our revenue agents have immediate access to the details on the delinquent accounts.
What's EDP?
I was wondering that too.
That's data processing, I'm sorry.
What's the E?
Electronic data processing. I think it's also known as okay. automated data processing.
I certainly had a feeling I knew what it was, but I couldn't.
Or just DP.
What that E stood for.
On page four, we've given you some information on the volume of our write-offs. The first chart on page four is gives the on the left-hand side gives the dollar volume of our accounts that are written off as uncollectible in the last three fiscal years. And then on the right-hand side, we have some figures on the new accounts that came into the system during each one of those fiscal years so that you can get an idea of what the dollar volume of the write-offs is as compared to the total dollar amount that comes into our accounts receivable system. And then further over to the right is the number of the new accounts that came into the system and compared to the accounts that we've written off. And the percentage of our bad accounts written off runs just about 2% of the total receivables that come into the system. Then at the bottom of page four, we've done an analysis of four of our cancellation orders. These accounts are recorded on data on EDP orders that are reviewed and then signed by the director and entered into the department's records. And in these four batches, we had 156 taxpayers amounting to $76,424. And the reasons, we analyzed the reasons why these accounts were written off and translated those into percentages, and those percentages and the reasons are shown at the bottom of the page. Our statutory authority to write off accounts is 305 ORS 305-155, and we write off accounts generally because there are no assets that we can reach to satisfy the debt, or we have determined that further collection action wouldn't be cost effective, and we've documented it. And each one of these accounts that's written off is, like I say, documented, and the documentary records are microfilmed and we are retained permanently in the department's file.
Are these records in the form, are these percentages from the dollar amount or from the number of accounts?
From the number of accounts.
Number of accounts. Does the dollar amount, will the percentage in dollar amount terms be roughly the same?
Did you do that on the...
Yeah, I can address that. Yes, Senator Powell, when you talk about dollars now, if you look like that first item, economic value, too small to be cost effective, you know, 34% of those 156 taxpayers fell into that, but probably the dollar volume was pretty small. Those are mostly the $100 and less type of accounts. Whereas if you look at maybe a insolvent defunct corporation, why, the dollar amount of those accounts would probably be much larger.
Yeah. It seems like the most, relevant figure to this committee would be those percentages in dollar terms by category as opposed to the number of accounts.
Mr. Chairman, we could make that analysis.
Yeah, I would like to. Is that a lot of work?
I don't think it's prohibitive.
Mr. Chair.
Senator McFarland.
Go down to that next category and tell me what in the world that is, withholding not assessed to responsible officer.
Mr. Chairman. Senator McFarland, in the income tax law, we have withholding provisions, and for where the employer is a corporation or a partnership, the